Now, a report released this week by an investment advisory group is sending warning signals to managers of superannuation funds. It says look into green alternatives or risk losing trillions of US dollars in your returns, and that means perhaps around the same amount of Australian dollars given parity. Now, this report compiled by Mercer Group looked into the possible impact of climate change on investors' portfolios from now until 2030. It also identified the most vulnerable countries in the world, including Australia. What the report says essentially is that the extreme weather events like floods, cyclones and bushfires could ultimately reduce what you and I might take home when we finally retire. But it also suggests that managers of our super funds could increase our returns and help the overall stability of our portfolios if they invest in what is called climate-sensitive assets. Things like renewable energy, sustainable building projects and recycling. Now, to help us understand the implications of the report, we're joined by the Head of Responsible Investing for the Asia Pacific at Mercer, Helga Bergden. Helga, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Hi, Mark. Thanks.
This is a pretty frightening report, especially if you're looking at retirement anytime soon. Essentially, what's the numbers on this kind of warning? What are we up for in terms of the big investment funds that we have around the world that are trickling back to us? What's the money worth?
Well, the money is, as you say, quite substantial. Really, trillions of dollars are at stake from climate change over the next 20 years. And according to our study, we have estimated, based on research undertaken in partnership with the Grantham Institute, London School of Economics, that investors will be up for up to $8 trillion US dollars if we don't get our act together on climate change policy. And this is a cost that the market will have to bear. In addition, we see costs from the impact on the physical environment, and you've referred to food security and cost, of up to $4 trillion. And that covers areas such as agriculture and forestry and water and health and something close to home, coastal zones, for example.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because there could be a view, if I play devil's advocate, where I say, look, if I've got a smart investment manager, they're just not going to say put money from my retirement fund into things that happen on the coast. So we won't get, say, floods or a cyclone. But you seem to be saying there's almost no way out of this because it's going to affect investments across the board. Is that right?
Yes. Our study has shown that investments across the board are being affected. And one of the challenges, I think, with investing is that we're really looking to the future. And our future is a very different world in a climate-changed world. So traditional ways of analysing future investment returns are rather limited. In fact, we feel that as a result of our study, they are failing us as superannuation savers, and that we really need to develop some new ways of analysing what we can expect. And we, as a result of that, we have actually focused on the longer term and looking at how is capital allocated strategically by super and pension funds. And what we did was we developed a new framework where we looked at technology and the physical environment and the impact of policy across four scenarios, best to worst. And our findings were that it is, as you say, something that is going to affect investments across the board, as climate change isn't confined to a particular tiny corner of the world. It affects countries, regions, economies, and of course the companies that our super funds invest in.
Okay, now you say that fund managers, who by now I think we have got their attention with what you're saying, should look for green alternatives. Can you give us a couple of examples of what, say, a climate-sensitive asset is, which is one of the terms that you use?
Yeah, what we refer to as climate-sensitive assets are assets that can respond to the risks and the opportunities in climate change. So, for example, many of our super funds and pension funds have invested into real estate. So a climate-sensitive way of investing into real estate is to consider energy-rated buildings, buildings which are retrofitting for energy and using sustainable water systems, recycling and so on. And there's a real commercial upside to it, and many of our super funds are well aware and are investing in this sector. Other types of climate-sensitive assets are obviously infrastructure, which is so exposed to climate risk in our portfolios. Obviously, agricultural land, private equity covers the whole range. And what we call sustainable listed assets and unlisted, so assets that have some exposure to the very primary drivers of our economy, such as water, waste, all these areas which are so critical to the fundamentals of the economy.
Okay, but say, for example, that you want to invest in a climate-sensitive building, an eco-friendly building. It is going to cost more money up front, isn't it? Inevitably, because there will be greater expenditure in the technology. What does that mean in terms of the investment returns and your outlook in terms of that investment? Does it have to be longer term?
This study is very much focused on the time frame because we believe that a transformation has to occur, that our ways of analysing investments looking forward into the future are failing us, and that we do need new ways of considering future risk and opportunities.
Now, we've only got a few minutes left, so we've probably got to be brief, but the really important point I want to take up here is that these kind of investments into what we might call eco-friendly investments are often deemed more expensive. How do you encourage people to get into those kinds of issues?
Well, our study shows that investors that ignore climate risk will actually find it difficult because the game has changed, and typically investors will go to low defensive and perhaps lower return investments, but we believe these may do little to offset climate risk, and it actually could adversely affect long-term performance, and remembering that we are talking about our super savings. So we really do believe that, according to our research, that if investments are selected which are climate sensitive, and we've talked a little bit about those, especially those that can adapt to a low carbon environment, it really can reduce risk. So our portfolio shift, if you will, could be for a fund that's looking for, say, a 7% return over time, be up to 40% of the portfolio reorienting to the new world that we're in.
Okay, now there's one more thing I want to ask you, though, that what seems to be the case at the moment is that investing in these kinds of technologies and businesses, there is not a lot of security. What do governments need to do? How important is a carbon price in terms of promoting this?
A carbon price is absolutely critical, and our study has focused on the cost of emissions and the ability of emissions to go down, and we've modelled that out with the Grantham Institute out to 2030. But nevertheless, despite the fact that the carbon price and a global framework are slow to materialise, there are lots of other things that investors can do. They can focus on the sorts of things we've talked about, the new frameworks, and look at how to look at future performance in a new way, considering technology and the environment and the impact that policy will have. They can allocate assets to climate-sensitive areas. Many investors already have exposures to, as I've shown, real estate. They can actually encourage fund managers. The super funds can encourage their fund managers to holistically consider these risks and also take up the opportunities. And super fund members can talk to their super funds about how adequately and comprehensively the super fund is considering these issues. And also investors can engage with companies.
Okay. Helga Bergen, thank you very much. I'm sorry you got cut off there, but I think the point has been well made. It's a big challenge for everyone.
Yes.
Now, I've been talking there with Helga Bergden, Head of Responsible Investing for Asia Pacific at the Mercer Group.